Yeah, I was saying, man, it's just like a little bit shattered, and I've had no booze for a month, so I'm off the booze for Lent, and I got 2 weeks to go, and it's proving challenging because I'm surrounded by booze wherever I go. It wasn't like Saudi; that was easy.
Right.
That was easy,
Out of
but the
sight, out of
temptation wasn't
mind.
there,
Yeah.
out of sight, out of mind, But I've got a wine cellar that's fully stocked. I'm looking at a whole bunch of different Japanese whiskies as I speak to you now.
You got it right there in front of you? That would be tough. Man.
And then I go down to my local bar. It's like, oh, I'll have a drink,
Oh.
and I'll have a fruit juice, and everyone looks at me like I'm a queer.
That's terrible.
And I've also given up tobacco for Lent. I gave up sweet things as well, but I chucked that one in pretty quick. So I needed. I realized that I'd just
That's
gone too
that.
far,
I was just, that's a lot to give up. That is a lot. Now I.
And then there's the fasting,
Oh yeah.
So I've been doing a lot of that.
Oh man. Well.
I probably dropped about 5 or 6 kilos, which
Yeah.
wasn't the plan.
Right, but that'll
But
happen.
it's
Yeah.
not why you do Lent. You're not doing your
Right.
Lent to have
Right.
anyway, sorry, I interrupted you.
That's fine. As I say, I went the entire month. I don't know if I told you this ever or not. I went the entire month of December doing carnivore. So that means for 31
Think
days,
you did mention that.
all I consumed was meat, eggs, butter, and avocados. So
Wow.
no booze. And
How did that go?
I thought the booze was going to be hard. It was actually, so right before, as I was getting up to December the 1st, right, I had all the booze that was in my house. And I thought, well, I better drink it all up so there's no booze in the house to tempt me. And so I was trying to slam through it all. And I realized that I wasn't going to be able to do it because there was too much and I didn't have enough time. So I made it through the month of December with booze in the house. And I have to say, I was like surprised. Not one time did I have booze cravings that I had to resist.
Yeah, but you kind of had a nice high fat protein diet, whereas
Right. Yeah.
I can't eat any meat or any flesh products on Friday, Saturday. Yeah. And
Right.
then for the other days of the week apart from Sunday, you're supposed to keep it to one meal a day, and you're not supposed to ram down a fucking juicy steak, you know what I mean?
Okay, right.
So I've got that on top of all of the booze, and I
Sure.
never know whether each day whether I'm gonna have my one meal at lunchtime or in the evening, because if I had it the day before at lunchtime and then today I wait till the evening, well, that's like bloody 30 hours that I haven't had any food.
Right.
So I think the longest I've gone this Lent without any food was about 48 hours. It was about 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot to give up, especially for 6 weeks. Whew.
6 weeks is long, man. 40 days. What was Jesus thinking? Couldn't he have done like,
Couldn't he done a little shorter? Oh.
a week and a half maybe.
Right.
All right. But it's always 40 days in the Bible, or 40 years. Like the Israelites wandered for 40 years. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days.
It's
At
just a.
least it wasn't 50.
There you go. Could have been a. Yeah. Oh. Could have been much worse. Hey, you could have done 40 weeks instead of 40
He could have
days.
done 40
Oh,
weeks.
bloody
You're right.
hell. You'd really be
He could have
suffering.
done 40 minutes.
There you go. Fasted for 40 minutes. Yes.
So what's
Done. We
that's
got
the
it.
that's the Amer that's the American Walmart fast, I
Right.
think. So I was going to, because the last episode we did was pretty soft. Yeah, it was pretty just,
Yeah, it was.
and I actually did an experiment on the last episode. So I put it up on Anchor, where all my podcasts are hosted now. But this time I didn't put it on my blog. Because I wanted to see how many people go through, and since then I've actually forgotten to put it on my blog. Let me have a look. I don't actually haven't checked the last one.
Now that you mention it, I don't remember seeing that in your blog feed.
No.
Though I did remember seeing it in my other thing, because I sub to your podcast feed over there. So I saw it over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've got to sign in.
Oh, God. It's the worst.
All right. Episodes. Yeah, man. It's half. It's half what the other ones are. So no one knew that I did that one. There you go.
Well, okay. Only half as many people, anyway.
Half as many people. So anyway, the last episode I thought was a little was nice, but it was pretty light on. We were just, you know,
yes,
I think shooting the shit more than anything else. And what I was gonna do for this one was to ask you that we could each come up with two or three, you know, meaty talking points that we could talk about, and then I forgot.
Okay, so that's a lot of notice.
Well, next... I don't know. What have you been talking about on your regular podcast? What's interesting stuff that you've been pulling to pieces over there in South Dakota land?
Well, let's see. What have I been talking about? Roger Waters, you are from Pink Floyd. Did you know that he has been accused of being anti-Semitic?
Wow, this is, I'm really stunned that you brought this up, because I've got one talking point tonight, and guess what it is?
Jews? Roger Waters.
Anti-Semite as a slur.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, listen, I got my grandfather clock working.
Oh,
can you hear it?
Yes. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to do the whole thing now.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
It's like you had yours in the background before.
I love grandfather clocks.
Yeah. I got the eight dongs. Sometimes at night, because it's downstairs and I sleep upstairs, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes at night, I'll just hear this chime, and it might be like 2 a.m. or something like that. And it's like, and you go back to sleep.
Yes.
Oh, it's comforting.
It is. It's got a good tonality to it, too. I like that.
It's nice. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. So I got the fire going at the moment. I got the dog on his spot. I got the grandfather clock, but I've got no booze, so don't talk to me or tobacco. Anyway, so Roger Waters.
Terrible.
I've seen some stuff about. I think the funny thing about this is I'm a longtime Floyd fan, because I grew up with Floyd, and learned to play most of their songs on the old guitar when I was a teenager, and I always had the opinion that David Gilmour was the goodie and Roger Waters was the baddie. And the events of the last few years has definitely switched that around 180 degrees.
Oh, really? That far? I kind of consider both of them baddies, but...
Well, I mean, David Gilmour's just proven himself to be a, you know, believe... This is the guy who wrote Welcome to the Machine.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
You know, we'll tell you what to dream, right?
Right.
And he's completely bought into that, right?
Right.
Whereas Roger Waters is a Marxist, let's be honest, but at least he's got a brain and he's able to see what's going on. And so I much prefer someone who might be politically not aligned with what I think, which is most people I know anyway, let's be honest.
Right.
But as long as they're able to observe reality as it's happening and be able to critically see what's going on, I think that's all I care about now, man. That's all I care about. So, yeah, I've seen that Waters has been banned in Germany and Poland from playing his concerts.
Yep.
Along with Israel, of course.
Shocking.
Shocking. He should just go play some big tours and just do Moscow and St. Petersburg, you know.
Right, right.
Maybe skip Kiev. But what were you saying about him?
I ran across this purely by accident. I thought it was hilarious that he's being called anti-Semite, of course. So then I started digging into it, trying to figure out, well, what did he say or do that has resulted in this? And it went back, as far as I could tell, there was like no one comment or anything or something he said. It just went back to the fact that for years and years now, in the Israeli-Palestine conflict, or, you know, whatever the word for it is, he's been pretty openly for a very long time on the side of the Palestinians.
Yeah, he's been a big supporter of the BDS movement, the boycott diversity, the boycott something sanctions, I don't know what it was, against Israel. And it's really right. Amusing that, because I mean the Jews were basically the ones who came up with apartheid in South Africa. They were the driving force behind getting the South African whites out. The Jews were the driving force behind the anti-apartheid stuff in South Africa. Mm. And of course, the Jews were the first one to flee the country in the early 90s once it all went to shit because of their... right. I wonder about the Jews, that they worked out that there's not many countries to flee to anymore when it all goes to shit. Because now they're doing in Australia exactly what they did in South Africa with the whole voice recognition. The Aborigines get a separate voice in parliament, so they're dividing the parliament on racial lines.
Oh, really?
It's all going through this year. I mean, Aborigines in Australia already have a whole bunch of financial and cultural advantages because, you know, and so many Australians now that look like, that are literally redheaded Irish, say that they're Aboriginal to get all of the, because you get like mortgage rates for your house at 1% as opposed to whatever the going rate is, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. But now they want to give them a separate voice in Parliament, because apparently Aborigines having the vote the same as every other citizen of Australia isn't representative enough for them.
Yeah, I could.
Yes. And guess who's behind all this, you know? The Jews!
The Judan! Also related to the Jews, I thought this was interesting. So I was digging through, I found this report about anti-Semitism in Texas, which of course is going up because anti-Semitism never goes down. But as part of the introduction to the report, which I haven't really read thoroughly yet, but it says on there that anti-Semitism is on the rise around the world. And I stopped and thought
even
to
in
myself,
Israel.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, and I said to my listeners, I said, isn't it fascinating that everyone around the world who disagrees with each other on all these other things, everyone, no matter where the Jews go, everyone hates them. Obviously, the problem must be everyone else, right? It couldn't have anything to do with the Jews.
No.
I've been saying the two things that all men around the world can agree on is that women are a pain in the ass and the Jews need to go away.
Yeah. I think the Jews are just like the world event version of my mother, you know, because with my mother, it was always everyone else who had the problem, not her. And I think that's just been expanded, and they've taken inspiration from her, which is unfortunate.
They knew her personally?
Probably. I've got an article.
Your mother's part of it. Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna read part of this article to you, because I've been going back and forth between over the last couple of days. I discovered this a couple of days ago, and I was like, do I write a piece about this? And I thought, maybe I'll just have a chat to you about it.
All right.
So this is on Substack, and it's on the dissident right side of Substack, and it was published about a week ago. And it's been spread around a bit, and it's called Requiem for a Smear Victim, Clemens Arve. So Clemens Arve was this Austrian doctor dude who was opposing COVID, who went and topped himself about a month ago, right?
Mm.
Okay. Jumped off a cliff, left a note at the top. Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently the reason that he took his own life is because people said mean things to him.
Okay.
I know.
Was this note, was it in his handwriting or somebody else's?
I don't.
Don't know. Okay.
Let me see if I can get a link to a photo of him so you can see a photo of what he looks like. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll send you now the piece, but don't read the piece.
Okay.
Because I want to take you through, because sure. If you read the piece, we're going to be here all fucking night and listeners will be more bored than they normally are.
Right.
So I just sent that to you.
Yeah, I got it.
Let me know when you, all right, open that up and just scroll down a little bit and you get to a photo of him smiling in his glass house.
Hey, hang on.
Right. And maybe we should put this photo in the show notes, I think. Have you got it there? Come on, mate.
It's coming.
That's what she said.
Yep. No, I don't want to sign in. Him smiling in his glass house.
Scroll down.
Stop scrolling. There's a lot of scrolling.
Hey, it's literally just there, man. There's an angel shot, and then
the greenhouse. Yes, got it.
Right.
Okay.
Now you can see there the long hair.
Yep.
And first of all, I'll say rest in peace, blah blah blah. But you can see the long hair, the waistcoat, the shit eating grin.
Yeah.
You've met guys who look like this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have. Yeah.
If anyone's gonna top themselves because someone said mean words about them on the internet, this is the guy who's gonna do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Seeing that picture made the suicide more believable. Yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
It does. It really like, does.
When you see a photo of that, it's not like will he kill himself. It's more when.
Right. Yep. When you said this, like, I pictured an entirely different form of human being. Now that I've seen the picture of him, I've completely altered my perception of this conversation.
All right. So this guy apparently was a biologist and a writer and musician and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
blah,
of
blah.
Course he was, yeah.
And father of a special needs son.
Oh, that's very
tragic.
Oh.
He was against the COVID stuff, and people said nasty things to him, and so he went and topped himself. What nasty thing did they accuse him of being that caused him to finally say, "I'm out of here"? What did they call him?
Anti-Semitic.
For opposing COVID.
Well, yeah, of course.
Of course, right?
I mean, of course, because if you're opposing the WuVax, obviously you want Jews to die.
Right.
I mean, come on. This is not even debatable.
It gets better, though.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So let me go to the start of this piece.
Better.
From the woman who's hosted this, because this is a letter from the Jewish community. It gets so much better than that.
Oh,
I'm gonna read what she says out. Okay, this is one of the most important pieces I have published. I have been given the honor of hosting a letter written by Jews around the world who unequivocally condemn the weaponization of, in inverted commas, anti-Semite to character assassinate people guilty of nothing but questioning approved narratives, exercising free speech, exposing corruption, lies, and harmful policies, and practicing independent critical thinking. The reckless abuse of such a pointed term is being done in the name of Jews, and the signatories of this letter are saying, not in our name. They are holding the media, politicians, and ideologically motivated organizations accountable for the destruction of lives resulting from the wielding of this accusation, the gentle Clemens G. Harvey being but the latest tragic example. We rely on you to share Clemens' story, which we're doing tonight, and the open letter in commemoration of Clemens Avery that follows. Thank you for your blah, 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 blah. So the Jews are not upset that this guy topped himself.
No.
The Jews are being upset that their preferred slur of anti-Semite that they could use is being used so much that it's starting to lose its potency.
Right.
Right? They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, you can't.
Only we get to use this when it really counts. You can't use it all the time for everyone.
Right.
Then it'll just become like misogynist. Yeah. Or racist. We can't have that. Anti-Semite special. And these guys have all bought into this. Oh, I haven't got to the best bits. Okay. Anyways.
Well, I mean, they've already taken out a trademark on Holocaust. Maybe they need to trademark anti-Semite as well.
Well, I think this is the point is that I think in the future what the Jews probably want is that if you label someone with the slur anti-Semite, then you're an anti-Semite for using the slur anti-Semite. Because
right.
Only the Jews get to use the anti-Semite. It's like only Jews can tell jokes about Jews, right?
Right.
Even if they're a 15-year-old little pisshead that needs to have his face smashed against the wall a few times to wake him up. Yeah?
Right.
All right. Now I'm going to read a little bit out of the letter. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yes. I'm so ready.
Out of all the name-calling, all the slanders, all the accusations, one word cut the deepest. Anti-Semite. This word holds the power to torpedo reputations with a single utterance.
Yeah.
It is the "when did you stop beating your wife" Chinese finger trap of allegations to which there is no feasible defense. Which I personally disagree with. It's a very feasible defense when you're labeled an anti-Semite, and that's, I don't care.
Yeah, right. Yes, I am.
Let's continue with the letter from these concerned Jews. Once anti-Semite is attached to you, it forever lurks in the archives, ever threatening to resurface, even if you've managed to clear your name. If you can be bothered. I added that bit, sorry. It's like a rusty needle the shaman propagandists can plunge into their chosen voodoo doll the instant they cross a line. Now, I don't know if you remember, Great One, but a few years ago, I wrote quite...
I know where this
innocuous and very, very calm article where I suggested that maybe Jordan Peterson wasn't the alpha male that everyone was making him out to be, right?
Yeah, you did. You did this.
And it was a very respectful article. You know, I was really creeping around the bushes for the most part, though I think the shot against his wife was a bit mean. And then good old Geordie read it, didn't appreciate it so much, and he tweeted that, well, he kind of accused me of a few things. He accused me of being a white supremacist, a misogynist, a right-wing something, far right-wing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But he also accused me of something else. He accused me of one word that cuts the deepest, Great One.
Oh, no.
And it torpedoed my reputation with just that single utterance, and there was no feasible defense, and it's been lurking forever in the archives, ever threatening to resurface, you know, and I've never managed to clear my name.
Have you considered
I've just been carrying
topping yourself?
Carrying this. Gah! So Peterson accused me of being, with no justification whatsoever, of being an anti-Semite. Now, I didn't I didn't start running around saying stuff to people like, they're killing me. These are the words from the Austrian. I don't know how I can go on. I am at my wit's end. I continue, but it is nervous madness. The methods are so vile. Will an enraged citizen end up killing me? 3 question marks. With so much hate, 1 question mark. Since my Austrian TV station appearance, it's quite mad. Well, listen, I've been accused by Jordan Peterson, who tweeted out. A tweet said by hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't restricted to Austria, you know, on some bloody no-name television station that nobody watches. Because let's be honest, nobody watches television anymore, do they? I got accused of being an anti-Semite, and strangely enough, I took it with glee and probably used it to raise my profile and sell a whole bunch of books. And it was great. I made quite a bit of money off that, to be honest with you. I suppose I could sue Peterson for slander. I could make some more money off it. What's the statute of limitations? It was about 3 years ago.
No idea.
Maybe a bit longer than that. But do you see my point, great one? Do you see my point? I didn't go out and top myself for having a big cry.
Right.
Whinge, whinge, cry, cry, cry. You know? What do you think?
Yeah, it's just not that big of a deal.
It's not, is it?
No.
It's not. No. No.
And I mean, I don't know, he's got... I don't know, someone like this, like, what is he worried about? I mean, does he not have money in the bank? Does he not have backup plans for skills?
I don't know what backup
plans. You know, I mean, like, you know, to bounce to Roger Waters. I mean, if I was Roger Waters, I'd be like, okay, great, I'm anti-Semitic. I still have billions of dollars or whatever he has. You know, it's like, who fucking cares? I mean, in a way, I could kind of, like, if you're a nobody and you work at McDonald's and you have to get anti-Semite tattooed on your forehead and you get fired and you become homeless. Okay. But like for normal people who have stuff and can do stuff and have an ego and confidence and abilities and skills and are able to just not give a shit about what's on Twitter, I don't see it as that big of a damn deal. Did you kill yourself? Did you even lose sleep? I mean, maybe the first 3 or 4 nights you stay up late. But after that, like...
No, I didn't stay up late one night.
Right, but I'm just saying,
I slept like a baby.
Well, but I'm talking about even for someone a little more normie. Even like for just a normie person. If this might keep you up a couple of nights, and then you got to go on with your life.
Well, yeah.
I mean...
I haven't got to the Jewish letter yet.
Oh, okay.
There's some bits I've highlighted. There is hardly a worse insult for a decent person than to be called an anti-Semite. I don't know.
I don't agree with that one.
I mean, are we decent people, great one? Who gets to decide who decent people are?
Well, the Jews.
Ah!
Ah!
I see.
Yeah, the Jews decide who's decent.
Have I ever told you when I was back living in Melbourne, I was playing cricket? And we play every Saturday, and we once played against an all Jewish team.
Really? So they didn't have diversity?
No. And some of the guys on the team were pretty old, and some of them were the full on Jews, you know, with the hair things coming out the side and stuff.
Right.
And the thing is, in cricket, you sledge each other. Sledging is basically, you know, insulting the other team to put them off when they're batting. So. You know, the batsman might come out and you might say to them, how's your wife and my kids? You know?
Right.
And then the batsman might turn back and say, wife's fine, kids are retarded. You know? Something like that. I used to enjoy when I was bowling to the batsman, I would say to the batsman, turn the bat over, mate. The instructions are on the other side. You know, that's a good one.
Good one.
Yeah. Stuff like that, you know, and you do it, you know, you do it, but it's also, it's tough, but it's more how you say it and how the other person takes it, you know, and it's a bit of a back and forth. And it can stir you up and get you ramped up, but if you do it wrong, it can ramp them up, and it can actually be used against you when you're the one who started it.
Sure.
So, we're playing the Jewish team, and I'm bowling, and what do I do? I'm sledging them. Oh, you can't sledge Jews who are playing cricket, because that would be
Anti-Semitic.
yeah, ding 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 ding
Yes.
ding ding, go to the top of the class. So I got through all that, and then it was our turn to bat, and I came out to bat, and I started sledging them as the batsman. Now the batsman is not the one who does the sledging. The fielding team does the sledging, but I was sledging them. So I just picked up where I just took off again, picked up where I'd stopped before, and kept it going. And there was one older guy on their team. He was probably in his late 60s, and he was getting very, very upset with me. And at a certain point, it was I said, "What are you going to do, mate? Are you going to get physical? What are you going to do? Fall on me?" And stuff like this. And the umpires were like, "Oh, maybe we should get your captain out here, Adam, to have a chat." Blah 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 blah. So my captain had to come out, and he's shaking his head. He's shaking his head. He's just like, "Fuck's sake, Adam! Can you just score the runs we need and shut the fuck up?" And these are the people who are deciding who decent people are? Give me a break. Give me a break. Fucking hell. Shall I continue with this
Yeah, no,
Jewish letter?
keep going.
But so I'll read the first line I just read again. There is hardly a worse insult for a decent person than to be called an anti-Semite. When the advocates of the ruling opinion, or rather the opinion of the rulers, wield the anti-Semitism cudgel for no reason, they condone the pain and despair they cause. So if you use it for a decent reason, according to the Jews, the pain and despair that is caused is fine. Right?
Okay. Shit, that makes total sense. Yeah.
We're the advocates of the ruling opinion. Well, we know who's ruling us. It's the Jews.
Right.
So this whole letter is like the snake eating its tail. We got to link this letter in the show notes, I think. All right. Clemens Arvey was also subjected to such agitation and denigrated as an anti-Semite. We are no longer able to ask him the final trigger for his decision. Well, just look at his photo. That's a
Yeah.
pretty good thing. But one question the agitators, the media in question, including some leading outlets and individual profiteers of political favor, may and must be asked is, are you touched? It's always touching with the Jews,
Touched.
isn't it? Are
Yeah,
you
I
touched
love
by
it.
the idea that this death might have something to do with your agitation? I don't know, Jews. Are you touched by the fact that it's your word? I haven't got to the best bit yet. This
Okay.
death breaks the dam. The pent-up horror at the way you treat what is sacred to us, what has shaped us, what gives rise to our pain and our knowledge and moves us to write this letter. It's always about the Jews, isn't
It
it? The
is.
Jew strikes out, cries out as he strikes you. An anti-Semite is a Jew hater. Those who tried to exterminate the European Jews 80 years ago were anti-Semites. All right, so I've been called an anti-Semite by Jordan Peterson. Am I fitting into this great one?
Which part? The part where you're stealing their word and causing them pain? I mean,
Baby, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just psychobabble.
It is,
I don't
isn't it?
hear anything coherent. I
No.
mean, you it, it's like, black people, you can't use the word nigger. We can. It's Jews. You can't
Yeah.
use the word anti-Semite. We can.
We can.
But we're equal to you,
Yeah.
but we're also better than
Maybe
you, but we also need special privileges.
then we're the only ones on the same plane. We're the only ones who label someone a white supremacist. Or we're the only ones who can call someone a Karen. Release the Kraken!
Release the Karen.
Jews, letter signed by Jews for Justice, Jews for Enlightenment, We for Humanity, God. In brackets. Email if you would like to connect with the groups or request more details. Taking $3 more pounds of fasting will cause. See your doctor if pain persists.
If you'd like to request more details, if you'd like more details on how special we are and how you can't use our word.
That's basically what it amounts to, isn't it? You can't use our word unless we give approval now.
You can't use our word. You're taking away our word from us.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Good Lord.
Great one. You're such an anti-Semite.
I hope so. I strive.
You really are.
I do the best I can.
Let's make this anti-Semite month. You've got to accuse as many people of being an anti-Semite as you possibly can.
And the month's almost over, though. If we're talking about...
Well, starting from today, you ding-dong. All right, let's make April anti-Semite month. And you have to accuse as many people as possible on as many different mediums as possible of being anti-Semite. Yeah?
All right, I like it.
I, of course, will accuse my whole readership of being anti-Semitic. Okay. Just as a start. All of my followers on Gab, obviously anti-Semite.
Obviously.
Anyone who listens to this podcast.
Of course. All my listeners. Anti-Semitic. Yeah.
Yeah. Anti-Semitic. All the people down at the local bar. It'd be quite fun. You know, I didn't order a beer. I ordered a glass. Are you anti-Semitic? Go to the checkout at Walmart, and that'll be $45. $45? Are you anti-Semitic?
You're anti-Semitic, aren't you?
Are you anti-Semitic? It's not anti-Semitic, it's anti-Semitic. Come on, speak English properly. Shall we call this the anti-Semitic episode?
We could do that.
I think it's got a certain ring to it.
Anti-Semitic. And Uncle Semitic. And
maybe as a cover picture, you could have like some wooden doors. The ones that hold all the gas in. You know, and a couple of, you know, what's the, all right. I saw this. control yourself. So I don't know if you saw, but Arnold Schwarzenegger did the rise of anti-Semitism. A broadcast on YouTube a couple of weeks ago that everyone was taking the piss out of, right?
Oh my God, no. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this.
I can't do an Arnie accent.
It's hilarious.
And he basically said, yeah, I went to, how do you do an Arnie?
I'll be back. I can kind of do Arnold.
I'll be back. Anyway, he did. He went on a pilgrimage to a sacred place.
Pilgrimage.
Do you know where that
place
was? What place was that?
One of the places where the Germans baked a bunch of bread.
Okay, that's it. So he went to Auschwitz, and he had all these photos up while he was doing his monologue of doom, and one of them was of a crematorium with two spots for bodies to go into an oven.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I looked, and he had the photo comes up, and he's like, the horror, look at this, it's awful. And I looked at, honestly, I'm not being facetious or sarcastic or taking the piss like with the wooden doors thing. I honestly looked at that photo and went, you could go down to any funeral parlor in any fucking town in any country in the world and see exactly the same thing. And what are you going to do? You're going to say the horror?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a crematorium. People died in the camp, you know? It's just like...
Right.
You know, we'll just leave them in the bunk beds? What are you going to...
We'll let the other prisoners eat them?
I mean, I don't know. We'll, you know...
Right. What are you going to do with them?
Bernie's? You know, lift the hand, wave. Still here. Can we have his soup? It was a shot of a crematorium with two spots for loading bodies. Two.
Two.
Two. That was it. And he's like the horror. And I was like, it's a, I don't understand. I really don't understand now. I don't understand. I felt like going down to my local funeral parlor and saying, would you mind me taking a photo of your thing and going, right, blah, 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 Italy, the horror,
horror.
Ah, oh, this podcast is going to get us in so much trouble.
It's fine. Man, there's just a lot of, there's a lot of people who just want to call attention to the Jews, which it, I mean, the whole cucking in general baffles me, but.
In what sense?
Well, I mean, just like why? And I mean, I know that like earlier in my life when I was an idiot, I did it myself. And so I look back at when I did it and I try to figure out why was I a cuck? And I really can't figure it out because my brain is so unwrapped around that now. But here in the States, like everyone is, there's so much cucking for the Jews. And it's just, it's everywhere. And it's like, you tell me that Arnold does this. I'm like, why the fuck is Arnold doing this? I mean, he banged his housekeeper who is extraordinarily ugly. And, like, is he trying to redeem himself? Because in some ways, I feel like that's what it is. Like, if you do something stupid, you go out and you suck up to the Jews because this is like some kind of pilgrimage to redeem yourself.
I think
because you're proving you're not anti-Semitic. Look how not anti-Semitic I am.
No, I don't think that is. I think some favors were called in because I think Arnold owes his whole career to the Jews. If you go back to look at his early career and how he got there was a whole bunch of guys lifting weights who had big physiques.
Right.
But one guy was pushed all the time. One guy was chosen, and then he was chosen to do all these films and all the rest of it. And he couldn't act. He could barely speak English. You know, when they were filming Conan the Barbarian, they had to cut most of his lines because they couldn't understand what he was saying.
Well, that's not necessarily detrimental, though, for acting.
Well, I mean,
because chicks love non-American accents. And if nobody can understand what you're saying, that makes you mysterious. I mean, Clint Eastwood did that by just not talking.
True.
So I see where you're going. I'm just saying that's not necessarily detrimental.
Anyway, the doors were all open for Arnie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all you have to know is who opened the doors. And now they're calling in the favors.
Yeah.
He knows who his bosses are. Just look at his actions. No. Whiskey, do not eat my cable. Bad dog. You're a very bad dog. You will be punished. Yeah, Whiskey.
Is Whiskey
I see it in your eyes. He's anti-Semitic.
Anti-Semitic. Oh,
he licked me. He licked me. It's true.
Oh,
Whiskey. You're anti-Semitic, aren't you? Yes, you are. No joke. Oh my God, Whiskey killed himself. The horror.
Well, now you're gonna have to cremate him. Otherwise, what are you gonna do with the body?
The horror.
The horror.
The horror.
Where? You're going to have to pilgrimage to Germany to find a crematorium.
I don't want a pilgrimage to Germany again. I've had to do it so many times. they're gonna make us pilgrimage to Germany again for this podcast episode. I tell you, it's all over for us. It's all over. We basically may as well give up now, you know, go top ourselves. I think I might just electrify the toilet seat. A decent way to go out, isn't it?
I suppose so. If there's not enough current, at least it'll make you feel good. You sit there and go, oh, yeah.
Hang on a sec. I gotta put my dog back on these.
All right, no problem.
Breaking my balls. Whiskey?
I'll try to. Man, I need some good. I don't know any good Jew jokes. Piggott probably knows some good Jew jokes. I don't know any good jokes, period. Yeah. I wonder what happens if I type Jew jokes into Google. I wonder if I go on a list.
He's only 4 months old, and he's like a young child, obviously. So it gets to a certain point of the evening when overtired, and then turns. He basically loses his mind.
Ah.
Yeah. Which is very anti-Semitic.
Very. Just,
it's embarrassing. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't taught him to do the Nazi salute yet. I might have to do that.
Did you actually see the video of the little dog doing the Nazi salute? Because I know everyone's...
And he's only got put in jail.
Yeah, but I mean, it was hilarious. I actually watched the video. It's like, oh my god, this is funnier than shit. I was laughing my ass off. I'm looking at this going, how do you take this seriously? Like, what the fuck is wrong with Jews that they see this and like. They take this serious. It was obviously funny, and it was funny. Like, it was obviously a joke. He was obviously trying to antagonize his girlfriend, which is the funniest fucking thing on the planet Earth, because that's what girlfriends are for, is to antagonize them, because it's entertaining.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, this is hilarious. Fuck.
The thing that I didn't understand about that.
Yeah.
Was the dog was responding to the command Heil Hitler, right?
Right.
So when did the Jews have the monopoly on World War II and Nazi Germany? I mean, the Jews didn't even fight. I mean, the Russians lost, what, 30 million people?
Right.
So shouldn't it be the Russians that are getting upset at this guy who's... But no, it's anti-Semitic. If you dress up as a Nazi stormtrooper and go to your high school prom like that, it's
right.
Anti-Semitic.
Right.
You know. I just find the whole thing,
Right. You're not anti-Russian or anti-British or anti-Polish, or anti-Marxist or anti-Democrat. It goes straight to, oh my god, you hate Jews. Like, that was the only thing the Nazis did was hate Jews. That was it. They did nothing else.
Yes. They did nothing else.
Nothing else. Hey, this is a great place for me to plug Mein Kampf. For my listeners all know this. Your listeners don't know this. I've been listening to the audiobook of Mein Kampf. And I've been listening for...
Read by Hitler?
No, God, I wish. The guy who reads it is really good. You know, but it's like, okay, now I understand why no one wants you to read this book. Because Hitler is right about a lot of things. Not just the Jews. He's right about the Jews. For those of you who have never read the book, let me tell you, it's not, because I think the impression people have, this is the impression I had, what is it, just page after page after page about the Jews? And it's not. Like, the Jews are in there, but like, he talks about how politicians are corrupt, how the media, you know, lies, how this is how politicians manipulate people. And, you know, and I'm reading this stuff and I'm going, Mike, this guy's fucking right. He's absolutely right.
He did all
right.
That stuff. He ended
it,
up.
Yeah,
doing
that's
that
why
himself.
He was so good at it. He understood it. He applied it. You're damn right he did. He applied it. He knew what the fuck he was talking about. It's a damn fascinating book.
Right. Are you getting ideas on how you're going to...
Oh, damn,
you know,
straight. I'm going to start. Yeah, I'm going to start using this tactics.
I was going to ask for a position in your fascist government, but I don't think I can be bothered.
You know what? I don't want to be bothered. I just want to... I'll get some other fascists to do the work. I just want to be left alone at this point.
I wrote a piece... The other day, I just stepping sideways, man. I just don't care anymore. I'm not going to fight the system. I'm not going to cooperate with the system. I just have no interest in it at all now. Yeah.
Right.
This is
read
not
that.
This is not an Aaron Clary enjoy the decline thing. This is just like, you, like I said, if you play, you lose.
Right.
Whether you fight them, if you fight them, you're doing exactly what they want you to do, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. It's sidestepping. Just, yeah, divorce yourself from it as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, but you've got to be quietly formidable. Like I think the COVID situation was a good example of that. Yeah. So I didn't fight the powers that be on COVID. I just refused to go along with it.
Right. Same here. I didn't. I just ignored them. I just didn't do it.
Did it cost me personally? Yes. Would I go back again and change how I approached it? No. Do it exactly the same way the whole way around. And I think enough of us refuse the vax and refuse to get with the program without, you know, attempting to overthrow governments that now, well, does anyone still take, I mean, I've read today that the EU has just thrown away 500 million COVID shots because no one will take them. No one, just refusing.
Fantastic.
So, you know, I think it's still, I'm still unable to come into your country, by the way, because I haven't had the shot. Your government, even though it's all supposed to be over, your government is still like, if you're not a US citizen, you can't enter the country unless you've had the shot. How does that make any sense? I saw the latest US Army, US military recruitment video.
Oh, really? And how, God. I can only imagine. Were transvestites prominently featured?
No.
No. Maybe that's the next one.
It was almost all white guys.
What? Oh, okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
But the narrator telling that white guys to join was a black guy.
Well, I mean, if we are going to send someone to another country to die for diversity, I mean, it should be white men.
That's it.
Those are the ones we want to get rid of.
Well, I think the US Army has realized that the mainstay, the backbone as such of its manpower force was generally white guys, especially from the southern states and that area there. I don't know how it was when you were in the Army, great one, but were there a lot of southern boys there?
Yeah. It was, yeah, we had a lot of guys from my unit. We had a lot of guys from Texas, a lot of guys from Florida. And then the other state where we had a lot of people was Michigan. But yeah, there was a pretty big a number of southern peoples.
So are you still in contact with some of those guys from your old platoon?
I am not. We all faded away after a while.
Not even on the Facebook thingy?
Not even on the Facebook thingy.
Yes. I suppose I'm not really in. Yeah, I got rid of Facebook and I basically lost contact with most of the people I used to know.
Right? Did you actually get rid of it? Get rid of it?
Yeah, yeah.
I deleted it about four years ago. I keep thinking about doing that. I haven't logged into mine, and I know it's been at least a year now. And I just keep thinking I should just kill it.
I just didn't want to. You know, I worked out what Facebook are actually doing with the data, and I thought, I just weighed up the advantages, and it's like, and I didn't really use it to stay in contact with anyone. All it did was cause me to be annoyed at the stupidity of the people that I was had as posing as my friends, you know?
Right.
When they would post things. And I'm so glad I didn't have it during the whole COVID period, because I think that would have made it more difficult. I think the fact that I don't have any social media apart from Gab, and on Gab, out of all the contacts I have, there's only one who I actually know in real life, only one. Mm-hmm. Two, I suppose, is you, isn't it? One, I should say, from my, you know, my former life.
Right.
So I don't have any social media. I don't have any of this pressure. I got rid of everything, I think. Yeah. Got rid of a lot. Yeah. It's great.
No, I agree. It's great. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I figure if there's someone I want to keep in touch with from the past, I mean, at this point, for me anyway, it's either going to be text messaging or emails. And then the other aspect of social media, I suppose, is discovering new people. But I'm at the point that In the past, I have met people through social media. Like, I interacted with them first on social media, then I met them in real life. But, man, I just don't see that happening anymore, for me at least. Because the problem is, I look at too – they put people put too much on the social media. I look through it, and I only got to find something about the WUVAX or anti-Semitism or I stand with Ukraine. I'm like, all right, I'm out. I don't care. I'm not interested in interacting with you at all.
No. Vegan.
Even
vegetarian now. If someone's just vegetarian, I basically, meh. Can't do it. We had a couple of weeks ago, there were two girls up, two Italian ladies up, friends of my friends, and everyone came out to dinner to my place. And of course, these two women were vegetarians.
Of course.
So I'm forced to make all this vegetarian food. And so I cooked like a minestrone soup, mm-hmm. yeah? And I used really fresh ingredients and stuff like that and like beans and stuff that had been given to me by a local farmer and stuff. That was good shit.
Yeah, oh, sounds fantastic.
And then I made a porcini mushroom risotto, and I do a really good risotto. And then I had like a lemon tart or something for dessert. But these women went, I mean, it was embarrassing because they were going absolutely gushing over the food and how amazing it was. And I could die now because I've had the best risotto ever, blah, 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 blah. And I just like, I was just like, okay, yeah, I don't take compliments too well. I kind of just, you know, grimly smile. and then a couple of days later, I was talking to my friend, who's a great carnivore like I am, and he was there as well that night. Mm-hmm. And I said it was a bit embarrassing, and he said, yeah, it's because they're vegetarians, so they don't eat good food. So if someone actually cooks decent vegetarian food, you know, they go off the deep end because they're always just eating crap.
Huh? Yeah, I could see that.
Anyway, so I think vegetarians are just completely self-obsessed, self-absorbed, you know.
Oh, so kind of like Jews.
Ah.
That's, Adam, that was very anti-Semitic, what you just said.
I called you first. I was going to say that it was anti-vegetarian, but okay, fine.
I am anti-vegetarian. That's true too. No, actually, that's not true. I love vegetarians. I like eating them. Cows, fantastic. Sheep,
pigs. Oh, no,
pigs are definitely not vegetarians. Pigs and chickens, definitely not vegetarian.
Yeah, chickens are not vegetarian.
No,
not at all. And that's like that's cool. Like, because when you eat chickens and pigs, they just got what was coming to them, didn't they?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, they're all anti-Semitic. Yeah. I mean, we're just helping. Look, here's the thing. Vegetarians, you got to understand, carnivores like Adam and I, we're helping to cleanse the world of anti-Semites. All those pigs and chickens and cows. I mean, think about this. Yeah. Okay, think about this. Cows poop, right? The methane comes out. The methane causes global warming, and the globe gets hotter. Where does it get hotter? Mm. At the equator. Where is Israel? Mm. Well, it's close to the equator. So global warming disproportionately affects Israel.
It's not really that close.
See. Okay, do you really think anyone who believes in global warming knows where the fuck Israel is? No, they're not. Just they don't know where Ukraine is either. Okay, so there it is. See, by eating these cows, we are saving Israel from global warming. That's how much I care about the Jews. I'm willing to sacrifice by eating all that steak. Now, Adam, he won't do that. He's not eating meat this month every single day like he's supposed to. He is anti-Semitic. I care about the Jews.
When I was in the United States, I did meet a few of your locals there who didn't know where Australia was.
No, really?
I did. It got to be a little parlor game for me. especially at the walk-ons bar that we were going to all the time, because there were lots of waitresses there, and I was flirting with them all the time because the Australian accent goes so far.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, I love your accent. Where are you from? I'm from Australia. Oh! Do you know where that is on a map? Uncomfortable silence.
Oh, man.
And then I'd start making a map of the world out of beer coasters. Like, okay, this is Europe. This is North America. That's where you live, right? This is South America. Now, this one's going to be Australia, but you need to put it where it needs to be, you know? And the whole bar was getting into it, you know, the times you're doing it.
That's funny.
And the really funny thing is, there were waitresses who didn't get it, and you could divide those waitresses into two distinct groups.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And these are the ones who didn't get it.
Okay.
And some of them, when I next came into the bar after slightly mocking them the last time I was there, didn't really want to have anything to do with me, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why.
Oh my God. I do.
And then there were some of them who, when I came to the bar the next time, they didn't want anything to do with me either. No, they on the other hand, thought I was the beast. They thought it was great, you know? Yep. And they had a real sense of humor about it. And what was really funny was when I had two girls behind the bar, because it was quite a busy bar. It was a big bar, big square rectangle bar, went all the way around. And one of them was from each group, you know?
Okay.
And then there'd be a waitress there who hadn't played the game, and then some of the regulars would say to me, do the game, Adam, do the game with the coasters. And then one of the waitresses would be like, yeah, do the game, because she knew.
Right. And the other one is scowling at you. Oh, man. So funny. Yeah.
And those waitresses that didn't like it were anti-Semitic.
Yes, they were. And they still are. Because, I mean, once you can never shed that. Once you...
Oh, no. Yeah. Once you get labeled...
Once you're labeled.
Once you get labeled that you can't put that coaster where Australia actually is, wow. Ah. Oh.
Right.
How are you going to live... How are you gonna live that? How are you gonna go to Walmart after that?
I don't know. Yeah.
Neither do I.
Because I mean, if you think about it, being anti-Semitic, I mean, it's not like having your gender assigned at birth by a doctor, right? Because later you could just change that. You can, no matter what it says on your birth certificate, you can just make up some new stuff, and that's fine. But once you've been labeled anti-Semitic, you can never reassign that. You can never change that identity. You are stuck with it for evers and evers and evers.
It's a tragedy.
It's a tragedy. The horror. It's
the horror.
There's so much
and
horror.
I don't really think we understand just how deep this tragedy goes.
I don't think we do either.
I think it goes a long way deep. I think it's very, very deep. I don't know, like a kiddie's wading pool.
Yeah. Maybe
like a puddle on the side of the road after a little rain shower.
Maybe we would understand if just more people accused us of being anti-Semitic. I mean, other than Jordan Peterson, I can't think offhand of anyone calling me outright anti-Semitic. I mean, it's always implied. Maybe if my listeners could help me out, if you guys could all accuse me of being anti-Semitic, maybe that would help me to understand the horror and the tragedy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what about if, would it help? Great one. And I'm just saying this as an idea.
Okay.
Out of the goodness of my heart.
Right.
But would you like me to call you anti-Semitic?
Oh, you would do that for me?
Ugh.
Wow.
Great one.
That's
you know,
I mean, I don't know if I've ever been this touched before. Probably because I don't hang out with any Jews, but that would be that would be tremendously helpful.
Can you send me some Bitcoin?
Is Bitcoin is that the inspiration for me being anti-Semitic?
Well, I mean, you said how could you, and then I thought, oh, there's a solution. You could actually,
you could pay me.
I thought maybe I'm being a little bit over generous here. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you don't want to just throw your anti-Semitisms around.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you don't. Do want to hold on to those.
Well, you do. You do, though, because next April is anti-Semitic month. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So you actually have to. I'm really hoping that our listenership will rise to the occasion and call as many people as possible anti-Semitic.
Including us.
Including us. Start with
and
us.
Each other. Right. Us first, then do each other.
Us first, us.
Yep.
Aaron Clary, do you think he's anti-Semitic?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
And he's 25% Jew.
Oh.
So you can get away with it 25% of the time.
So Aaron.
I love seeing his name on the internet with the quotes around it. It just cracks me up.
That's great.
Or the,
so, I mean, if it's coming from Aaron, it's got more weight behind it, isn't it? So, according to these guys, anyway. So
that's true. He can use the word.
Yeah, 25% of the time.
25%.
When's the 75% of the time that he can't use the word?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Who lets him know that?
Maybe he just has to self-censor. Like if he's going to call someone anti-Semitic.
You see, great. Well, you see, this is why they're right. We can't possibly use this word because we can't even get basic stuff like this correct. We're stuck at basic things like this. They're completely right. No one else should be throwing around the slur anti-Semitic unless you've got real experience, real depth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's 9 o'clock now. My phone's going, my clock's going again.
It's very soothing.
The dog sleeps downstairs next to the clock, by the way.
Ah.
I don't know how well he sleeps, but he's looking he's been a bit jumpy lately.
Every hour on the hour? Or is that?
Well, it's every 15 minutes, well, basically, that too. Does it? No.
Or is he just concerned about being called anti-Semitic?
Oh, he's already topped himself, you know?
That's right. You got to find that crematorium.
Yeah. With the wooden door. Are we doing any shout-outs?
Well, I mean, we've been shouting out to the Jews for the last hour.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell?
That's a little bit anti-Semitic of you, great one.
Hey, I'm just trying to get ahead of the game here. I mean, you've been called anti-Semitic by Jordan Peterson. That's a lot for me to compete
with. I have. On Twitter, no less.
Yes. The home of Elon Musk, who I'm pretty sure is anti-Semitic.
Is he Jewish?
Not a clue.
Right. He should be.
An honorary Jew.
Yeah.
There's a website. I can't remember the URL. It's in my links. But anyhow, it's like Jew or not Jew, something like that. And so if you go there, like for each person, they have a rating system. So it's like, well, how Jewish are they genetically? How Jewish are they religiously? Whatever. And one of the categories is how Jewish do we want them to be? Which I always found hilarious. Like, you know, they'll score low or someplace else, but we really want this person to be a Jew. We're giving them a 9 in this category.
You're giving them a 9. You're an honorary Jew.
All right. Honorary. If you're not a Jew, you should be.
Yeah. Honorary Jew. Yeah. That's lovely. Well, let's do a shout out to 25% old 25%er.
Yes.
Aaron Cleary.
Well, no, wait, are we shouting to the Jew part or the non-Jew part?
Well, the 25%.
Okay. All right, just checking. So, shout out to the 20. Well, we'll just ignore the anti-Semitic 75% of him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll
okay.
ignore that part. And hopefully he'll listen to this and accuse us of being anti-Semitic.
Yes.
Coming from him.
That would be big. Because he's on social media. He could accuse us on Twitter and TikTok.
He is social media.
He is on TikTok.
He is social.
He's spying for the Chinese.
If
he accuses us of anti-Semitism on TikTok, the Chinese will get a hold of that information. And then they can program that into their spy balloons that they're releasing.
And then you can shoot them down.
Yes.
Which would be anti-Semitic.
Yes. There it is. Everything
comes
full circle.
It all makes sense now. Don't you understand? It all makes sense.
It totally makes sense. I got it. It's so clear. Oh. I think I'm going to go top myself. That's how clear it is.
Make sure you leave a note.
I will. Explaining that I did it because I've been called anti-Semitic. Oh, God.
Can I have your car?
Sure. You have to come over and get it, but.
Oh, I can't come in the country.
No. Well, I tell you what, I'll have Clary drive it to the beach for you. And you just come up right to the beach and grab it.
Maybe give it a miss. Yeah.
Well, it's a long swim. Man.
Right.
And then we just boom. We had so much. We just ran out of energy there.
We just ran out.
We just ran out of anti-Semitism. We gotta go refuel. I gotta go listen to another chapter of Mein Kampf and refuel.
There's only so much I can take. Because let's be honest,
what
I don't
she
really
said.
Care. I don't. I just don't
right.
care.
No, I mean you're. Yeah. Ultimately, I mean it's funny and yada. But yeah, ultimately,
In all seriousness, that's like what I got accused on Twitter by Jordan Peterson himself of being anti-Semitic. The thought of this being the worst thing ever, completely not there.
I can think of much worse things. You know, cancer, syphilis, going blind, dating a fat girl. Yeah. I mean, come on,
dating a
seriously.
A fat girl. I mean, it's great fun till your mates find out.
Kind of like being anti-Semitic, yeah.
No, I think that's still good fun. Even
All right.
And
yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. I think we can leave it there. Everyone knows what they need to do for April. So, get to it, guys. And you can play the coaster game down at the bar with the barmaids and see if they know where to put Australia. Yeah.
That is a good one.
Good luck with that. All right. Well, it's goodbye from me. And goodbye from him, I suppose. And we'll see you all on the down low after we all get cancelled for this episode. So don't you go changing, guys. And
Laters. Laters.